All right, guys, we'll go ahead and begin. If you got your Bible, make sure that's open to Colossians 3, verses 18 through 21. And if you haven't grabbed a handout, there's handouts on either side. You can grab one of those and got an outline for us. Again, for today, disregard any spell errors. And we're going to be in Colossians 3, verses 20 is the focus. So over the past few weeks, we're taking a look at the Christian household, the role of the wife, the role of the husband and father. And we're going to be looking today the role of children. And also within that is taking a look at the role of parents. The instruction of parents to their children. But we'll, before we read Colossians 3:18 through 21, does anybody have any prayer requests? Any way that we can be praying for you or anybody within your family, anybody that you know? Stan. Amen. Did it wake anybody up? Storm? Woke me up. I usually sleep through about anything. And I woke up to this one. Yeah. Praise. So praise for the rain. Let me check my phone quick because I did text. Marjane went with Jim. So the text that I got is that Jim is at Sanford. So when I got this response, it was right at 10 o'clock. So he was being admitted in CT scan now. So this was, again, 10 o'clock. Back and shoulder x-rays done. Pain in lower back and right shoulder. Heart rate very low. Daughter is here now and son is on his way. So I'll get Jim's... Jim's got a couple of kids. His kids' names, one is Randall, lives in Mitchell, and Vicky, who lives here in Sioux Falls. So pray for Jim Bickerstaff. So about 8:20 this morning, Jim walking in, he fell over by the Welcome Center area. I didn't see it, but he was conscious, but he wasn't the Jim that we know. There were certain things he didn't remember when asking questions, and heart rate very low. But Pastor Don was right there by his side, and that's the kind of guy that you want right by your side, knowing. Pastor Don's training, and so yeah, we give thanks for EMTs that came this morning. And again, if you just walked in, praying for Jim Bickerstaff. He's admitted at Sanford now, and his daughter Vicky is there, and his son Randall is on his way. So prayers for them. Anybody else? Ask prayers for myself from tomorrow, Monday through Wednesday. I'll be chaplaining at Inspiration Hills Camp. So it'll be grandparent camp. So grandparents coming with their grandchildren for summer camp. And just pray your God's hand of blessing and wisdom over. That's just a special time for grandparents. With their grandkids at camp. So have some fun at Icebreakers with them. I'd appreciate prayers there. Let's turn to the Lord in a time of prayer. God, we thank you for this hour that you've given us to be together and to study your word, to study your truth, your way that you call us to live by faith. that pleases you, Lord. And God, we give you thanks. We give you praise for the rain that you provided overnight for us. And God, we thank you for your provision in that regard, Lord. And God, we pray for Jim. Pray for him right now as he undergoes testings and scans at Sanford, and just following the trauma of falling this morning. And God, will you just pray your hand of blessing over Jim. Pray your hand of healing over his body, Lord. And God, we pray for his children, Randall and Vicky, that are going through an also difficult time this morning as they care for their father. So God, we lift the Biggerstaff family up to you at this time. And God, I just pray for your wisdom this week as I lead a group of grandparents and their grandchildren at summer camp. And God, I just pray over this time together this morning here in this Sunday school class as we talk about children obeying their parents and everything, that this pleases the Lord. So God, we thank you for your truth, for your commandments that are for our good, that are not burdensome. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we will read Colossians 3, 18 through 21, and then taking a close look at verse 20. And you will notice on the outline too, more so under point two, we got a variety of questions that we're going to be taking a look at here. As we look at what it means to obey your parents, whether that be you are a child here in this room, and you live at home, or you are dependent on mom and dad, what it looks like for an adult to honor thy father and mother, what it looks like for a child to honor their parents if their parents are ungodly, if their parents lead a sinful lifestyle, what does that mean? We will look at what does it look like for an adult child to honor their parents that are aging and in need of care. And what does it look like for an adult to honor their father and mother that have passed away? So we'll look at all of these aspects, but first we will look at the role of the parents of instilling obedience in their children. Before we do that, we'll read this text, Colossians 3, 18 through 21. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So it's amazing how God works, isn't it? As we look at verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. We just spent an hour talking about what it means to please the Lord, and we're going to be taking a look at a specific example. So it means walking with the Lord, being somebody of faith. So as we looked at that verse there in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. It is impossible to walk with the Lord. So our main point for this morning is this. Parents must discipline their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So parents must disciple. Parents must disciple their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So in today's day and age, talking about parenting, giving other parents wisdom and insight of how to parent, often can be a touchy subject. Like, there's this way to parent. There's that way to parent. Don't tell me what to do. They're my kids. What we need to focus on as a church is what's key for us to do as believers is to ground ourselves. Ground ourselves in the Word of God and to apply the Word of God to our lives. So it's to submit to the Lord in all things. This means to submit to the Lord in all things as God's children. So in talking about Paul's charge to children, in Colossians 3, verse 20, what is key for us to focus on is the role of parents. And the role of parents in regards to obedience. And instilling obedience in our children requires discipline. It requires discipline in the home. Beginning at infancy. Beginning when kids are young. So Paul's charge to parents, to fathers, in Ephesians 6, verse 4 says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So we focused last week on Paul's charge to fathers, to parents. And as we take a look today at the charge for obedience in all things from children, God's design for the Christian family is for parents to bring up their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. God's design. God's design is best. So what parents must do is seek the Lord's wisdom. Seek the things that are above the Word of God. And as they seek the things that are above, as they parent, to not be the parent that is too passive with their children, and to also not be the parent that is too harsh as parents to their children, but to be biblical in how we raise our kids, and trusting the Lord with our kids, that they came from Him, that they are an abundant gift from the Lord. So point number one this morning is this: parents must lovingly instill obedience in their children. So obedient children listen to their parents' instructions. So as Christian parents, we are to train up a child in the way that they should go. And we are to raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Christian parents are called to faithfulness in this. So last week we talked about the truth of fathers, not to provoke your children, not to be harsh with them, lest they become discouraged. And getting a child's compliance with ungodly anger is not the kind of obedience that we are seeking. What we are seeking is genuine, faithful obedience. So we're seeking the obedience that is one that is genuine. It is both inward and outward and willing. And for the parents in the room, you know this doesn't happen overnight. Day by day, moment by moment, loving, caring, praying for our children. The other side is parenting that lacks discipline. This is the parenting that is passive. So our boys are 5 and 3, And I call the lack of discipline, especially at their age and older too, I call it this: letting your kids win. Letting your kids win. Let me tell you, and many of you know this. A 3-year-old knows. A 5-year-old knows how to test mom and dad, how to test grandpa and grandma. In God's design, parents have the authority. Parents have the authority over their children, and children must honor and obey. So the passive way of parenting is the easy way out in the moment, but it creates the difficult road in the long run. It's lazy. It gives children authority in the family that they aren't supposed to have. And what it leads to dysfunction within the family. There's likely many families that face this, but one of the things that Katie and I face is, we love the moments. I love the moments around the dinner table when both Connor and Teddy are eating their food well. There are many moments that doesn't happen. And there's many times around the dinner table where it's, you need to eat your food. You need to eat your food and to be stern, to have a godly demeanor and discipline. What we're getting at here is this: children need nurturing and discipline and Christ-like love at home. What children need is, they need structure. Children actually thrive in structure. Children need stability, and they need godly discipline. Parenting without biblical discipline is a way of not loving your kids. Parenting without biblical discipline is a way of not loving your kids. What it does is it enables them. It enables them to make foolish decisions that are then affirmed by mom and dad. We see this in today's culture, don't we? We do. So what does it mean? What does it mean to raise our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on the gates, and on your gates. So Moses expects that parents who truly love God will also teach their children to do the same. Teaching them diligently throughout your days. I love doing this as a father. And it goes beyond formal moments. I love the moments that God gives us in the car. Oftentimes, most every morning, we have a time in the car where we're taking prayer requests. We're praying together. And one of the moments that I really love the most as a father is when we roughhouse. We kind of do WWE in our basement, And there will just be times in those moments where I just speak life into the boys and encourage them, talk about how God has given them their bodies, our bodies to take care of, how God loves us. There's moments of communion this morning. Well, I really want that wafer. Can I have some juice? It's an opportunity to share what this is about. Like, Connor's curious. Tell him what's going on here. Tell him the truth. And Moses says, as you raise your child in the love of the Lord, eventually you're going to get asked this question. This question is this. It's in Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 20. It says this: when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. So, point is here. Our children need to know. Our children need to know why. Why we obey God as believers. So it might not be asked in that specific way, but parents, grandparents, when that opportunity arises, I pray that God would give you wisdom to speak truth in the moment. Children need to know, they need to know why mom and dad seek to please God, to obey him. And children need to know the reward, they need to know the reward of covenant keeping. It is because they love the Lord your God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might. So why do we love God? Why do we love God? Because he first loved us. We love God for who he is, for what he has done. We love him for he has planted the love for him within us. Parents, grandparents, we have the opportunity here to say this, that we once too were slaves. I once too was a slave to sin. And the Lord Jesus brought us out of our sin and into his glorious light. Our obedience to God is out of the outpouring of love for him. So if we love God, we will keep his commandments. So our obedience, so children, our obedience to our parents is out of the outpouring of the love to God and to our parents. And the verse that we're in Colossians 3:20, and tying what Pastor Randy preached already, this pleases the Lord. That's the reason. It pleases the Lord. So parents, you could ask, well, why do I have to obey you? Why do I have to do the dishes? As a parent, it's easy to say, because I said so. That's often a great response. But the other response, the biblical one here, is because it pleases the Lord. Because it pleases the Lord to listen, to obey. Regarding obedience, John Frame writes this, "Now obedience is a form of submission. Submission is the broader category, obedience the narrow one. We express submission in ways other than obedience. We show submission in our demeanor, our respectful way of listening, our willingness to hear teaching or rebuke, our gentle manner when we exhort. But sometimes the proper way to submit is by literal obedience. And this is especially the case with young children." So as parents, our aim in discipling our children in obedience is to lead them. To lead them in the ministry of reconciliation. Our families are our greatest ministry. When children pout, and again, and they ask why they need to obey, we have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to continually lead them in the truth of God, of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Paul writes this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. Says this, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." So when our children sin, when they disobey, we must direct them. We must direct them in grace and truth and in forgiveness. We must direct them in the right way of living that pleases the Lord. We live in a world that many people are clueless. As Christian parents, it is our God-given responsibility to direct them in the way that pleases the Lord, to raise them in the truth. I remember when I served at First Reformed, one of the youth leaders that I served with, he's a father of 8 children. Large family, wonderful family. And I remember one of the first times meeting him, his name's Lyle. And he's like, "I'm the guy that probably many people have talked about that they have a large family, they got 8 kids." He's like, their goal, his goal as a father is to raise his kids right in the Lord with godly instruction and discipline, raising them in the truth with the aim, with the goal of bringing them heavenward in Christ Jesus. To bring my whole family to heaven. Now, as a parent, do you have the power to save? We don't have the power to save. It's on the Lord who he has called to save the elect. But when our children sin, we have the opportunity. Not only just the opportunity, but the command to share the truth of our lives as believers. Our need for grace and forgiveness, our moment by moment relying upon Jesus. So we must teach our children that when we sin, you're not just disobeying mom and dad, that you're disobeying God, that we are sinning against God. So parents must use, the encouragement here is for parents to use teachable moments in our children's lives to point their mistakes, their shortcomings, their sinfulness, their selfishness, to our need to rely upon the grace of the Lord Jesus. It's really important for your children to see you do the same in your own walk with the Lord. Speaking the truth and living the truth of this, that I was dead in my trespasses, in the sins in which I once walked. But it was God all along. It was God all along who made me alive in Christ Jesus. Dead to sin, alive in Christ Jesus. But it's God all along who saved me. And he's got the power to save you, son. He's got the power to save you, daughter. And that God chose me as his own before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. A little bit of tying together this morning. It's a beautiful thing. What our kids need to know is these truths here that Paul writes in these verses, and it is our responsibility as parents to instruct our children in the truth when they sin. We live in a world that celebrates sin. We must be people that follow God's truth because we love him. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. The shift happens here. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So parents in the room, I encourage you, share your testimony. Share your testimony of faith in the Lord Jesus with your kids, because there was a time. There was a time in your life where you're dead in the trespasses and your sins, and what it means to confess our sins to the Lord, and he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us and to purify us. That's the power of God at work in me through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you have grandkids, do the same. God would give anything if I could have heard the testimony of faith. I saw it lived out by my grandparents, but I never directly heard it from them. What a gift if you have grandkids, if you got kids, to be able to share this truth. So if as parents, if we dismiss and don't address sin within the home, we are then enabling. We are then enabling our children to carry out the desires of the flesh and the mind. It's dangerous. sinful. It is not biblical parenting. So as parents, we must diligently, as Pastor Andy said this morning, diligently seek with your whole heart. Diligently seek with your whole heart. We must diligently train up our children in the truth. We must pray for our children, for their walk with the Lord. And again, we cannot save our own children, but God can. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So our role as parents is to be relentless. Relentless in pointing our kids to Christ, whether they are young or old. To teach them diligently. To model what it means to obey the Lord and to seek for his grace and for forgiveness. And for us as parents, to encourage them in the Lord Jesus, to pray for them and for their salvation and for their sanctification. Now, there are likely several parents within the church, within our church, and maybe it's you here today that have experienced the pain. Experience the pain of children rejecting the faith, of children rejecting the faith and rejecting the things of God. That's a pain I can't fathom. That's a pain I cannot fathom. But my encouragement to you is, as a parent, stand firm. Stand firm to the end. Stand firm to the end in the Lord Jesus. So as a church, we have a responsibility. As a church, we must pray for the prodigals to repent. That through the power of the Holy Spirit, that God would draw them to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be made alive, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, and as a church, we must pour into the next generation. Into the next generation of the church. Something I'm deeply passionate about as a youth pastor. How I view youth ministry is it begins in the nursery. It doesn't just begin at sixth grade or at seventh grade. Youth ministry begins at infancy. Training up a child in the way they should go. Actually, I think that verse from Proverbs is actually written on the wall in our church nursery. Our church nursery is more than just a drop-off during the worship service. Like, children actually get taught the word. In case you didn't know that, you should know that. And it's a very, very important thing of raising up disciples to send into the world. Point number two is this: obedient children honor their father and mother. Obedient children honor their father and mother. In the Ten Commandments, Commandments 1 through 4, deal with our vertical relationship with God. And there's a shift with commandment number 5 of how we relate to each other, of inferiors to superiors. Commandment 5 is aimed at the first relationship that any of us ever had with our mother and with our father. God is saying that if you can't honor the authority I've placed over you from birth, you won't honor me. You likely won't honor me in anyone else for that matter. What we must understand about the fifth commandment is honoring is something that we give. To honor something that we give. It's not about if honor is deserved or not. We'll talk more about that. Proverbs 12:1 says this: those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. So to the children in the room, listen to your parents. Listen to their instructions. Don't just look at your brother and sister right now, or your cousin, and think, "Hey, you need to do that better." But I want you to be thinking about that for you. So what does it look like for children within the home to live out Colossians 3, verse 20? The question I have here on the sheet for us is this. What does it look like for children within the home or dependent on mom and dad to honor their father and mother? I'll tell you this, there are many children today that are fully reliant on mom and dad until their age that they're 26. So if you're dependent on mom and dad, you must obey them. Colossians 3, verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in everything." Now, this isn't blind obedience. I want to be clear about that. Obey your parents in everything in the Lord, for this pleases the Lord. So the highest aim for children is to please the Lord. Paul charges children in Colossians 3, verse 17, says this, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So applying verse 17 to children here, obey them in everything. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So our obedience isn't when mom and dad say to do something. You do it with the joy of the Lord. You do it with thanksgiving. Right? And this isn't something that just happens overnight. So children in the room, we must pray that God would give us a willing spirit to obey. Talked about this morning already with Pastor Randy, that those who do this are people of faith who walk in the Lord, who seek to please him. So children who are still within the home, and or dependent on mom and dad, Scripture says, we honor mom and dad by obeying them, by submitting to their leadership. This means we do what they ask. So children in the room, you should listen. You should listen to your mom and dad. Why? It's a far better answer than, like I said earlier, because I said so. It's because it pleases the Lord. And Scripture says, it will go well for you. It will go well for you if you do so. I can remember thinking, my parents don't know anything about anything. I can remember that in some of my teenage years. They're clueless about what I'm going through. My parents don't know anything about anything. So children, youth in the room, maybe you have thought the same things about mom and dad. I want you to know you're wrong. I want you to know I was wrong. I know that because I was once your age. I once believed that my parents' rules were just to ruin my fun, right? The rules are just to ruin my fun. Things like having a curfew, things like rules for dating, of what shows or movies we could watch, what radio stations, what music that we could listen to. Those rules were all for my good. Your parents' rules are for your good. Exodus 20, verse 12 says these words, "Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God has given you." I appreciate what the Westminster Larger Catechism has to say about the fifth commandment. It says this in question and answer 127. What is the honor that inferiors owe to their superiors? The honor which inferiors owe to their superiors is all due reverence in heart, word, and behavior, prayer and thanksgiving for them, imitation of their virtues and graces, willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels, due submission to their corrections, fidelity to, defense, and maintenance of their persons and authority, according to their several ranks, and the nurture of their places, bearing with their infirmities, and covering them in love, that so they may be an honor to them and to their government. So what the Westminster Catechism here is, it broadens the scope to honoring authorities over you. But the primary one being to the nuclear family, that it begins there. That if it doesn't begin there, you're more likely to be disobedient to other authorities, teachers, and so on. Proverbs 13:24 says this, "Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who disciplines him is diligent. But he who loves him is diligent to discipline him." So in absence of diligent discipline is a lack of love for the child. And it sets them up for failure in life. And if we're honest about our childhood, there was plenty of evidence of original sin in our childhoods. And the need for reproof and godly discipline, I'll make it brief for the sake of time, but for growing up, one of the examples within my own life that I was disobedient to my parents was how I treated my sister. My younger sister, her name's Haley, she's 2.5 years younger than me. I would say probably after the age of like five or six, there were just constant moments of belittling her in middle school years, bullying her with the things that I would say. And the Lord really did a work in my heart when I was in high school, when my sister was a freshman. She went through something called Cushing syndrome. She was active in volleyball, loved volleyball, eventually spiking the ball so many times did issues to her shoulder, and she got a cortisone shot. That cortisone shot then led to one of those one in a million kind of reactions. And you know what somebody looks like when they have their wisdom teeth removed? That happened to my sister for most of the entirety of her freshman year of high school. And so here she is, beautiful young gal, and her face is puffed up, and there's other people teasing her, and me as her older brother, deeply convicted for how I treated her in the past. Deeply convicted for how I disobeyed God and disobeyed my parents and how I treated her. That's when a huge shift began to happen. So, children in the room, adults in the room, how we treat each other matters. Obey your father and mother. We hear time and time again in the book of Proverbs, do not despise your father's instruction. Proverbs 3:1-2 says this, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for the length of days and years of life and peace will be added to you." So children are to honor and obey their parents in Christ Jesus. So the full of the Ten Commandments point to Christ. The Ten Commandments point to Christ. So after God spoke the words of the Ten Commandments to Moses, he says, build an altar. Build an altar and make sacrifices for every time that you fail to live up to this law and that you're going to fall short. That doesn't mean don't try. We must have reverence for the word of God. Exodus 20:24 says this, An altar of the earth you shall make for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. So I hope that you're catching on to the point here. What the law does is it points for our need for a Savior. Those sacrifices were meant to point to the ultimate sacrifice of Christ, who submitted to the wrath of God, the Father, and went to the cross willingly and laid down his life for the church, his children. I encourage you in your own time, for the sake of time, to read the warning in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, the warning of such, to not be a child that is disobedient to their parents. Scripture says here that we must avoid such people. So what does it mean for an adult? What does it mean for an adult to honor thy father and mother? Be the first to say this: God has blessed me with amazing parents. Amazing parents who I am deeply thankful for. I think the huge piece of this is thankfulness. Thankfulness. So if your parents are still around, spend time with them. Talk with them. I am a mama's boy at heart. Love my dad too. I call my mom about every morning. Every single morning on the way to dropping the kids off at daycare. Call my mom. She talks with Connor and Teddy too. My mom and I spent the day together with my sister, who I now have a great relationship with because of the Lord. But what it means for us is what we must do as children, adult children, with our parents, embody Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Embody it. With your parents, put on compassionate hearts. With your parents, put on kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. The number of adult children that I know that are my age that don't have a good relationship with their parents, and it's because of the child. It's because of the child has seen their parents in the way that their parents are dead to them, and it's an awful thing. It is a terrible thing. So what there needs to be is forgiveness. Forgiving one another. Loving one another. Binds everything together in perfect harmony. And Paul says, be thankful. And to be thankful, to use this opportunity while your parents are still around to verbally thank God for them. Spend time with them. What I've learned, and my mom will tell me time and time again, don't get me stuff. I just want to spend the day with you. Do that. Do that. So the next question is this: how does a child honor their parents if their parents are ungodly? Now for young children. For young children as the church, we must come alongside those children. If you know of children, that they're young children, innocent children, I'm talking, if you know of, like, I've known of youth group age kids that youth leaders that I have served with knew about kids that their parents were ungodly, and what they did, picked those kids up, asked the parents first, picked those kids up and brought them to church every single week. So as the church, we must be observant within the community of the need. I think of places like Bridge of Hope, where 81 kids every single week of the summer, thanks be to God, have a place, have a safe haven, have a place to go. So continue to pray for Bridge of Hope, by the way, especially this week. There's a church youth group of 7 coming this week to minister to a group of 81. And the response that I got was, God will provide. I'm like, a group of 7 leading 81 kids. Pray. Pray that the word of God would be taught. Kids would listen. Seeds would be planted and nourished. Acts 5:29 says this: but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. So as a child, if your parents are living in sin, don't follow them. Just this past Monday, went home. It was Teddy's birthday. We did some fun things together. We went to Rock Rapids to go see my parents. And on the way there, Connor and Teddy fell asleep. So then when we got to my parents' driveway, my mom hopped in. We drove around town, and my mom just made the comment as there's saw a couple walking down the sidewalk, and my mom's like, oh yeah, they actively drink with their kids. Like their children have become their buddies that they are leading into a sinful lifestyle. Not okay. Not okay. And so children, those children, it is far, far greater, far better needed for you to follow the instruction of the Lord rather than that of your parents in regards to things that are sinful. And those are things in life that break my heart. So we must be observant as the church, and those, and for all of us, and for those kids, most important is to submit to the Lord, even if your parents deny the Lord. So how does an adult, next question is this, how does an adult honor their parents that are aging and in need of their care? You know, I just think of what happened this morning. Jim falling, 2 kids, Vicky and Randall. Pray for them. Pray for them as they care for their father. Think of the Loudenslager family. Think of Jim and Joyce. Jim's mom is Bonnie, who recently passed away within this past year. For the final 14 years of Bonnie's life, she lived with her son and daughter-in-law. That's a glimpse of what it looks like to care for your parents as they age. And Paul has instruction for this. 1 Timothy 5, 3-8. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone who does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Specific instruction. If you've got parents that are aging, it is our responsibility to care for them in the love of Christ. And for those that don't, there's a warning there. It's a sign that you have denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. So what does it look like? Last question here. What does it look like for an adult child, for an adult or a child, to honor their father and mother that have passed away? What does it look like? Live a legacy of faith. Live a legacy of faith even if your parents didn't. Live a legacy of faith if your parents did. It's the best thing that they could pass down to you. So if that's you, I want you to think about your parents. Thank God for them. In 2 Timothy 1, 2-10, we'll close with these words. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Guard the deposit entrusted to you. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. And here's the piece that we're getting at with honoring parents that have gone before us. Honoring your parents in general. But it gets at the generational piece here. Verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. It's beautiful. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. That's what it means to live a legacy of faith. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. We will pray from, we'll close in prayer here with words from Paul in the book of Ephesians, his prayer for the church. I invite you to pray. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.